Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Audio Mystery Theatre presents The Ornamental Hermit, a D.S. Billings mystery. Part 2, The Vulgar Man.
Ah, Detective Sergeant Billings. So it's you, is it?
Pardon?
So it's you who's been put in charge of the Lord Palmer case.
Do I know you?
Jeremiah Rook, from the Illustrated Police News. How do you do? So he's been caught then, has he?
A man matching Brendan Loughran's description was picked up yesterday in Battersea Park, if that's what you're referring to. But his identity has not yet been confirmed. Have a good day.
Did he have a tongue?
I'm sorry?
The man you caught yesterday. Did he have a tongue?
No, he didn't.
Well, then it's him, innit? The wild man of Sutton Courtenay.
We don't know that for certain yet.
You got a lot of suspects without a tongue in there, have you?
No.
So is it? The evil axe murderer. The depraved cur. The vile beast.
Those descriptions are a little sensationalistic, don't you think?
So what does he look like, the wild man?
You know what he looks like. It's been in the papers.
Have you got him chained up to the wall?
What? No, he's not chained up.
Isn't he roaring and raging and rattling his cage?
No.
Not foaming at the mouth, then?
No.
I hear he was found hiding in the bushes.
That is correct.
Digging his teeth into a little dead dog.
What paper did you say you work for, the Penny Dreadful?
It was a joke, Billings. You can take a joke, can't you? Or have I offended thy delicate ears?
Why are you speaking like that?
Well, that is how ye speak, innit? Thou and all thy friends.
Quakers don't use those old-fashioned pronouns anymore.
Well, come on, Billings. Give us some details. What was he doing in his cell when you found him?
He wasn't doing anything. The man I saw yesterday was meek, tired and docile. He was confused and scared.
Aha!
What?
Sympathy. You felt sympathy for him, didn't you?
Yes, I did feel some pity for...
Your father was Gideon Billings, was he not? A devout Quaker missionary who died in Madagascar in 1877?
How do you know that?
And you were brought up as the ward of Frederick Forrester, chairman of the Friends Foreign Mission Association, and friend and follower of Joseph John Gurney, brother of Mrs. Elizabeth Fry, the famous prison reformer.
I don't see how any of that is relevant
to... Oh, but it is relevant, Sergeant. It's very relevant.
Mr. Rook, the investigation has only just commenced. The suspect's identity has not yet been established, let alone his guilt.
Let me tell you what the problem is, Sergeant.
There is no problem.
The problem is you.
Me?
You're a Quaker. You see God in everyone. And in my opinion, there should be no room in the police service for bleeding heart sentimentalists like yourself. Because people like these, Sergeant, people like the wild man of Sutton Courtenay, are not human beings. They're monsters and need to be treated as such. It's my job as a reporter to scrutinise our police detectives and make sure they do their jobs right. You've already made a pig's ear of the Whitechapel Ripper case, which is a disgrace. So I'm here to make sure that, unlike the Ripper, the wild man of Sutton Courtenay does get his just desserts. So imagine my concern, Detective Sergeant Billings, at hearing just now that you've taken pity on that monster.
Damn it, he trapped me. I have nothing more to say to you, Mr. Rook. Have a good day.
Morning, Billings.
What the heck are you reading?
What, this? It's the Illustrated Police News.
Terrible newspaper. Throw it in the bin and read a proper newspaper.
Nah, I'm not really reading it. I mostly look at the pictures. Oh, Jacobs wants to see you. Probably wants to brief you about the Lord Palmer case. How's that going, by the way?
I wish I'd never taken that bloody case on. You wanted to see me, sir?
Ah, Billings, yes. Sit down, sit down. So, the wild man of Sutton Courtney. I believe you talked to this, Brendan Loughran.
Well, I went to see him in his cell on Friday, but I didn't speak with him. He doesn't talk. He has no tongue.
So I've read. I thought Clarkson was on duty last Friday.
We swapped shifts. He was tired.
Oh, yes, that's right. The Russian counterfeiters. Well, as if we didn't already have enough on our plates, our superintendent has now also handed us this. The murder of Lord Palmer. So, what are your thoughts?
Thoughts, sir?
Well, come, come. You saw that man on Friday. What is the next move?
Well, I suppose the first thing we must do is obtain a positive identification of the suspect.
I thought he matched the description in the Police Gazette perfectly.
Not quite, sir. The Berkshire Constabulary described him as being around 6'3". The suspect I saw is considerably shorter.
So you want somebody to identify him in person?
I think that would be best.
Like who?
Well, I thought perhaps Lord Palmer's wife?
Ah, yes, Lady Palmer. Well, the thing is, Billings, Lady Palmer has made it quite clear to the superintendent that she does not wish to set eyes on that vulgar man again. Vulgar man were her words.
But surely, if she's a witness in a murder investigation...
I don't much like aristocrats. Do you?
What?
Like aristocrats.
I can't say I've ever met any.
They're decadent. They're like children who've never grown up.
I wouldn't know anything about it, sir.
Well, take it from me, Billings. People who've never known money problems become decadent and spoilt. But crimes involving aristocrats are always passed on to the Yard because these are people with influence and connections. We must always treat them with delicacy. After all, they run the country, and the very existence of the CID lies in their hands. We're still on shaky ground, Billings, after the whole turf fraud scandal. Not to mention the lack of progress we're making on the Whitechapel Ripper case. If Lady Palmer says she doesn't wish to set eyes on that vulgar man again, then we must take that seriously. Perhaps we could show her a photograph instead.
It is hard to tell a man's size from a photograph. It is the suspect's size that is disputed here.
We could have him photographed next to you. How tall are you, Billings?
With all due respect, sir, a ruffled, bearded tramp will look very much like any other in a photograph.
Not without a tongue, he doesn't.
Isn't it possible, sir, that there are other beggars out there without a tongue?
Possible, Billings, but not very plausible.
But possible, though.
Oh, I suppose you're right, Billings. It looks like we shall have to inconvenience her ladyship after all. Lady Palmer is currently staying with her daughter in London. We could send someone to pick her up, but I warn you, Billings, we must tread carefully.
I shall be respectful with her, sir, as I always am with everyone.
Well, never in all my days. Are you Detective Sergeant Billings?
Oh, Lady Palmer, I am so sorry about your husband's death.
Why are you sorry? Did you do it?
No, I only meant that...
I know what you meant, and I didn't come here for your sympathy or your condolences. Now, will you please tell me why I was whisked down the stairs by one of your officers and shoved into a cab?
Mother, you were neither whisked nor shoved.
Lady Palmer, please, will you sit down?
You could at least offer me a cup of tea.
Of course. Jack? Where is that boy? Jack?
Sir?
A pot of tea for Lady Palmer and...
Etheridge. Arthur Etheridge. I'm married to Lady Palmer's daughter.
Yes, sir.
Well, Lady Palmer, the reason we asked you to come over is because we have some questions for you.
Questions, questions. You do nothing but ask questions. I know nothing about that vulgar man. I just want to know when he will be hanged.
Well, we haven't quite established whether the man we arrested last Saturday really is Brendan Loughran. Or that he is the man who attacked Lord Palmer. Now, you said Brendan Loughran was in the employ of your husband?
I said no such thing.
Didn't you? I thought... Oh, it was a certain Mr. Green. Mr. Green told the Berkshire Constabulary...
Green is the gardener, Mr. Billings. You'd better not start mistaking Lady Palmer for the gardener.
In what capacity was Brendan Loughran employed?
Capacity?
What did he do?
Nothing. He did absolutely nothing.
Well, then why did Lord Palmer pay him?
Brendan Loughran was what Lord Palmer called an ornamental hermit. It was all the fashion 100 years ago. The idea was to employ someone who would live in the grotto, which one of Lord Palmer's ancestors had built on the estate.
A grotto?
A grotto, yes. They constructed it in the woods behind the rock garden, next to the folly of the old Norman wall, which was built around the same time.
And what was this ornamental hermit supposed to do?
Well, he was supposed to do what all hermits do, fast and pray and atone for our sins. He was supposed to be a spiritual presence on the estate. He was to wear a long white robe, grow his hair and his beard, and live on meagre rations of bread, water and soup. He was to add a beautiful aesthetic to the environment. After all, nothing can give more delight to the eye than the spectacle of an aged person with a long grey beard doddering about amongst the discomforts and pleasures of nature. It's a common practice in India. Fakirs and holy men and such, they're held in very high esteem over there.
Well, it's all very fine and well in India, but we're in England. And in England we wear clothes. In England we wash. In England we work for the people on whose land we are permitted to live. I think it's obscene. I haven't set foot in our garden since he moved in. And we have such a lovely garden, Detective Sergeant.
I think, however, that Lord Palmer might have been a bit more discriminating in his choice of hermit. The hermit was supposed to exhibit wisdom and have an air of sagacity about him. Brendan Loughran was just far too grumpy and malodorous for that.
Why do you think that Lord Palmer was attacked by this man?
Well, because he's mad, that's why. He's a lunatic, a raving lunatic.
Could there perhaps have been a dispute over payment, maybe? How much was he paid?
I do not know how much he was paid. I did not get involved in my husband's ridiculous eccentricities. I wanted absolutely nothing to do with that vulgar man. I told Lord Palmer not to allow that filthy person onto our grounds, and now he's dead. Well, he got what he asked for, as far as I'm concerned.
You should ask Green about his wages. Green dealt with that sort of thing.
The gardener?
He lived in the garden. He fell under the charge of the gardener.
Would you recognise him if you saw him again?
Of course I would. How couldn't I? He is the most revolting piece of humanity you could ever dread to meet.
Lady Palmer, we would like you to go down to the holding cells and identify the suspect.
You want me to do what? Absolutely not.
I assure you, you shall be perfectly safe. The suspect is behind bars and I shall be with you at all times.
May I remind you, Detective Sergeant Billings, who is the victim here and who is the criminal?
We have no criminal yet, Lady Palmer. Not until he is positively identified by you and found guilty by the courts. Don't worry, Lady Palmer. You shall be in safe hands.
Why are you leading me into these dungeons, Sergeant Billings?
This is where we have our cells, Lady Palmer.
It's dark in here. Arthur, where are you? Arthur?
I'm here, Mother. Hold my hand.
Where are you taking us, Sergeant? I do not like it in here.
It's just at the end of the hall.
I can't breathe. Arthur, I can't breathe. There's no air.
Please, Lady Palmer. It's that cell over there.
Oh, there's somebody in there.
That's the man we're asking you to identify.
No, I will not do it. I will not take one more step into the dungeon. Get me out of here!
Please, Lady Palmer. Just have one look at that man so you can tell
no,
us...
No! I want to get out! I want to get out now! Arthur! Get me out of here! Arthur!
It's all right, Mother. I'll take you out. I'm sorry, Detective Sergeant, but you cannot inflict this on Lady Palmer. Come on, Mother.
Never in my life have I been treated with such contempt. How dare you subject me to such horrors and indignity? I am the victim in all of this, don't you know? I came to the police expecting kindness and compassion, and instead I was left in the hands of a lowly upstart who took me down to the dungeons to face the very man who murdered my husband and tormented my life. It was tactless and cruel, and a deliberate attempt to humiliate me. I have a good mind to write to the Viscount Landaff, who is a personal acquaintance of mine, and have both you and the Chief Inspector Jacob sacked. Come on, Arthur. Let's go.
Don't worry, Detective Sergeant. She'll calm down in due course. Your job is safe.
Arthur!
Coming, Mother!
Here, Billings, how long have we been travelling?
I don't know.
What are we going to Berkshire for anyway?
To speak to the gardener.
What for?
To get an identification.
I thought Lady Hoity-Toity already did that.
Lady Hoity-Toity refused to go down to the holding cells.
You should have forced her.
Jacobs told me to be gentle with her.
Are we nearly there yet? We must have been in this train for ages.
I don't know, Clarkson, I'm reading.
You're always blooming reading when I'm trying to chat to you. You're an unsociable bastard, did you know that? What are you reading now, anyway?
A diary.
You're keeping a diary?
Not mine, someone else's.
Whose?
Another case I'm working on.
Have you been given another case?
I'm doing a favour for a friend.
You work too hard. That's your problem. That's why you're so unsociable.
Now, my problem is I can't say no. Now, will you please be quiet? I'm trying to concentrate.
Just wake me up when we get there.
Extract from Sebastian Forrester's diary, Tuesday, November 4th, 1879.
What follows is an illustration of why I cannot learn anything useful in this wretched place. Mr. Crickshaw posed an interesting question today. A poor man, wretched with ill health, lame and defeated, widowed, homeless, and struggling to feed his children, asks you why God continues to make him suffer and never ceases to torment him. How would you reply? He wanted us to withdraw into the library and scour the scriptures for an answer. He said scriptures, not Bible. We were given a full hour to research our answers. We were then summoned back into the lecture room and, one by one, we got up and shared our findings with the class. Most of the students turned to the book of Job and uttered all sorts of nonsense about testing faith and unwavering obedience. But not I. When it was my turn, I stood up, held my little book proudly in my hands, the one I'd found in the library, shoved behind the Greek grammar volumes, and read out the following. They said of Amasera that for 13 years she was fiercely attacked by the demon of lust. She never prayed that the battle should leave her, but she used to say only, "Lord, give me strength." It's all about the struggle. She doesn't ask for it to end. She just asks for the strength to confront it.
What is that book you're holding?
Sayings of the Desert Fathers.
Where did you find it?
In the library.
Impossible! Tatum Hall does not hold copies of that book.
Well, Tatum Hall must hold at least one copy of that book, because I did find it in the library.
You were meant to find the answers in the Bible.
Why?
Because at Tatum Hall we are trained to look at facts. Attested historical and theological facts.
But this is a fact. Amasera was a 5th century nun who dwelt in a cell by the Nile for 60 years and battled all manners of temptations and desires.
That book is not part of the official Christian canon.
Does it have to be?
Yes, Mr. Forrester, it absolutely has to be.
Why?
Because the Bible is our manual. This is our law. This and nothing else. Sola Scriptura, Mr. Forrester. You'll have heard that phrase before, no doubt. Only these scriptures contain all the knowledge necessary for salvation and holiness. Tatum Hall was established to combat the professional ignorance of the majority of well-meaning but uneducated missionaries working abroad. And it is our duty to promote doctrinal truth and vital godliness to any future evangelists. You must refrain from studying anything else while you stay at Tatum Hall. Is that understood?
I simply nodded and sat down. But secretly, I slipped the little book into my coat pocket and smuggled it back to my room. Saturday, December 13th, 1879. I found a wonderful wooden Spanish crucifix at a small curiosity shop in St. Aldert's today. 19 inches tall and wholly impressive. It depicts Christ only a few breaths away from his release, the nails tearing at the skin of his hands, his protruding ribs streaked with whipping scars, his face wrinkled in agony, the blood from his forehead trickling down into his eyes, the red swollen lash marks on his curved back. It is beautiful. It moved me profoundly when I found it standing on the ground, shoved behind a mahogany umbrella stand, covered in cobwebs, lost and discarded. I bought it then and there for 7 and 6 and rushed back to my room immediately to hang it on the wall. Monday, December 15th, 1879. Crickshaw called me into his office after lecture today.
I want you to remove the crucifix from your bedroom wall.
Why?
It scares the charwoman. She's refusing to enter your room.
I'll clean my room myself then. And anyway, I don't want other people entering my room without permission.
It's not your room, Mr. Forrester. It's the college's room. And why should you not want anyone to enter it? There are no secrets in this house.
If the sight of Christ's suffering is so frightening to that charwoman, then she has no business working at Tatum Hall.
You are not going to get very far doing missionary work in Madagascar with that attitude. Why did you buy that crucifix in the first place? Aren't Quakers normally opposed to any form of idolatry?
We have no rules on the matter.
Well, Quakers might not have any rules, Mr. Forrester, but Tatum Hall does. Tatum Hall is primarily an Anglican institution, and an exception was made by accepting you, a Quaker, due to your father's financial contributions. But we must draw the line at allowing Catholic iconography from decorating these walls. That crucifix must go. Perhaps if you explain it to her.
To whom?
Janie, the charwoman who took objection to the crucifix. Rather than turning your back on her because she takes offence to your icon, you could show her what Christ's suffering means to you. Show her how Christ's sacrifice has redeemed us. Every emotion is a door for God to enter through, Mr. Forrester, and it is your job to facilitate that entrance. We must remain forever alert to this, and we must grab every opportunity of bringing the Evangelium to the people.
Sunday, March 11th, 1880. Last night was cold and clear, but the frost on the grass hadn't been given the chance to evaporate, and the ground remained moist all day. Janie refused to sit down, even though I'd brought a blanket. Instead, she kept walking up and down the towpath, or throwing stones into the river, or just generally loitering about, being a pest.
I thought today were meant to be our day. You ain't said a word to me all day.
I conversed with you thoroughly for the whole hour it took us to get to the river.
But I don't want to hear about all that morbid Jesus stuff. I want to hear you talk sweet to me.
You should have said something.
I couldn't get a word in.
Well, anyway, I'm reading my book now. So could you please be quiet for an hour and allow me to concentrate?
And what am I meant to do during that time?
You could go for a walk.
But I don't want to go for a walk. I want to fool around with you.
We'll fool around later.
But I want to fool around with you now. I want to fool around all day. We only get one day in the week together. Why can't we fool around all day?
Because I want to read my book. That's why. Now please, I beg you, leave me alone for an hour.
I thought you weren't meant to study on the Sabbath. You read all week. You've got to give your eyes a rest, Sebastian, or you'll go blind.
I read different books during the week. Books I don't care about. Books that don't teach me anything. This book, Sayings of the Desert Fathers, is the only book I can learn something from. All I'm asking is for you to give me 1 hour in the week, just 1 hour, where I can sit quietly alone and enlighten myself. So will you please go to those fields to see if you can find a dry shed somewhere? I promise we'll fool around later.
All right then, but you're starting to bore me, Sebastian Forrester. If you don't start showing me a bit of attention soon, I'm going to start looking for a different student to fool around with.
As she left, I remained sitting on the wet ground for a whole hour. The cold seeped through my clothes, making me shiver. My hands were red and sore, my fingers barely able to turn the pages. And yet, I wish I could have remained there all day, sitting quietly and upright, moving only to blink or turn the page, battling the pain and discomfort with the aid of my book. Oh, how I would have liked to have been amongst them, in the deserts of Egypt, removed from the world, fighting all temptations and numbing distractions with abstinence, prayer, and pain. These men and women had the strength to turn their backs on the world and dedicate themselves selfishly to disciplining their souls and their bodies so that they could take on the sins of the world and redeem us all through their sweat, blood, and tears. But I knew Janie was waiting for me, so after an hour I got up, put my book into my coat pocket, folded the blanket around my arm, and headed for the fields to look for her. I found her at the abandoned shed near Iffley Lock, squatting on the ground, leaning against the wall.
Hurry up with that blanket. I ain't laying on the cold floor.
There's the blanket.
What are you doing?
I'm taking off my belt.
Oh, we're not doing that again, are we?
Use the buckle side this time. Help me tie my hands to the crossbeam.
Can't we just lie on the floor and fool around?
Afterwards.
But I don't want to, Seb. You've still got scars from the last time.
Come on, just 50 lashes.
No!
25 then.
No!
20.
None!
Come on, Janie. We'll fool around afterwards.
But why?
I told you. No pleasure without pain. Now, come on. Janie gave me 20 lashes. They weren't very hard, but the belt buckle broke my skin after the fifth one, and each consecutive lash landed on the open wound, hitting the raw nerve so that I felt the pain right down to my toes. I am unable to recline in my bed now as I write this. The desert fathers would use these tortures to beat the demons of lust out of them, but with me, they had the opposite effect. The pain just made me randier. Janie and I spent another hour in the shed, rolling and frolicking around. The blood of my back stained her underclothes. She'll have to wash them secretly or burn them, in case her mother finds out. I did it all wrong. There should have been no reward. Pain without pleasure. I must remember that. Live as though crucified, in struggle, in lowliness of spirit, in goodwill and spiritual abstinence, in fasting, in penitence, in weeping.
In this episode, the parts were played as follows. Jeremiah Rook, Luke Malloy. Billings, David Ault. Clarkson, Bob Lawrence. Jacobs, Anthony Houston. Jack, Lady Palmer. Janie, Sarah Bowers. Arthur Etheridge, Ivan Wilkinson. Sebastian, Matt Sykes. Mr. Crickshaw, Aubrey Parsons. Audio Mystery Theatre is free to listen to, but not free to make. If you want to show your appreciation, please consider buying us a virtual cup of coffee at ko-fi.com/audiomysterytheatre. That's ko-fi.com/audiomysterytheatre. With theatre spelt the British way. That is, with R-E at the end.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.